Alrighty, Revelation chapter 10. And as we begin here tonight, before we read anything, let's just take a look at this chart here. And you see here the chart we're looking at. Tonight we're looking at chapter 10, which is in between the sixth and seventh trumpet. Alright, so it's kind of a pause in between the sixth and seventh trumpet, and it gives us some information there. So that's where we're at tonight. And so that keeps us aware of where we're going tonight. All right. So as we begin, let's start with verses 1 through 4. Revelation 10, verses 1 to 4.
And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud. And a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as it were the sun, and his feet as pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea and his left foot upon the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not.
Okay. All right. Now, as we start here, we find out, first of all, John describes another mighty angel. You know, the word another there is an interesting word. There's two different Greek words for another. One's heteros and the other is allos. And allos means another of the exact same kind. Heteros means another of a totally different kind. And this one here is the word that means another of the same kind. So this is another angel of the same kind. And I don't believe that it's speaking of Christ, even though a lot of people think it does, because the description here does sound a lot like the picture of Christ we saw in the earlier chapters of Revelation, and yet Jesus Christ is not an angel.
That's right.
And I know that in the Old Testament, there were times when some of the Christophanies were in the Old Testament that were pre-incarnate appearances of angels that were the angel of the Lord, and many times people think that that was referring to Jesus Christ or Jehovah God. And I believe it was, but exactly, you know, he was not an angel. It was a Christophany. It was a different situation. Whereas this one here is an angel. And, I can see where they come up with their ideas, because it talks about a clothed with a cloud and it would be white, and then the rainbow, upon his head, and that we saw that rainbow in the earlier chapters, and his face like the sun, his feet like pillars of fire. I mean, there's a lot of things there that does sound like Jesus Christ. I'm not going to deny that. But at the same time, the very fact that it's called another angel, I don't think that's referring to Jesus. Yes, sir?
And verse 6 explains why. And I swear by him that liveth. Well, how can Christ swear by himself?
Yeah, well, so we'll be getting that in a moment, too. All right, John Ray.
The word angel also mean just messenger?
Yes, sir.
It doesn't necessarily specifically refer to, like, the angels, or does it? It just could refer to a messenger.
It can, yes. Yeah. It's angelos. It refers to a messenger.
Yeah.
But often it does refer to angels.
Yeah, but I think that's what people can sometimes also get confused reading the Bible, because angel and angel.
Yeah, that's... There are a lot of things that we can see why there's confusion sometimes, all right? And he held a little book, verse number 2 there, and the book could not have been the book mentioned in chapter 5, verse 1, because it is a different Greek word. This one specifically means a little book. All right, in chapter 5, and verse number 1, we saw there that he talked about that a book that was written, but that one... It was a specifically different book than this book. All right, so they're not the same one, but this is this angel's holding on this book, and then he had his foot on one foot on the sea and the other foot on the earth, and either his authority is over the sea and the earth, or his message is global. One of those two. Those are the two interpretations that I found as I was digging through this. The ideas of why he was standing one foot on the sea, one foot on the earth, could be referred to his authority over those, or could simply refer to the fact that this is a global message he's got. Yes, sir?
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I always thought that meant, like, he had authority locally in his homeland, and he also had authority over the world, because the seas are what connect you to other countries.
Yeah.
It kind of seems like a picture of global strength.
Yeah, it very well could.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's the authority, whether it's the strength, whether it's the, you know, but his message was to be worldwide. And he cried with a loud voice as a lion. All right, now, I've never been close to lions, other than the zoo, but you hear them, you know, on videos and things of that nature, and they definitely have a loud roar. And so this, the depiction here is as of a lion, this loud roar of a lion. So as you see this, John's hearing this, and he hears this voice, and it sounds like a loud roar of a lion that's speaking to him. And God commanded John not to write what he saw. That's interesting. He wasn't to write what he saw. God allowed him to see it, and John pulls out his pen, and he's getting ready to write, and God says, no, don't write it down. And the thing I want us to ponder here is, you know, why? What was the secret of these seven thunders? Oh, we don't know. And there's no way to know it, because God didn't tell us. But for some reason, you know, God told John about these. John saw it, and he knew what it was, but we couldn't write it down. And one thought that had gone through my mind is maybe God's just trying to tell us here that there's a lot of things in the book of Revelation that aren't the full details of everything. There's a lot of it that God just doesn't tell us all the details. And this is one of those examples of that, where God specifically told John, yeah, you saw it, but nobody else can know what you saw, so just don't write this one down. And so there's secrets there. And so one day we'll get to heaven, we can ask God all about this, or maybe we'll be able to watch the tribulation period from heaven. I hope not, in a sense, because it's not going to be a pretty picture. But we'll be able to find out someday. But right now, we'll have to settle with just wondering. Okay. All right, then the announcement at the end has come, verses 5 and 6.
And the angel which I saw standing from the sea and from the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that therein are, and the earth and the things that therein are, and the sea and the things which are therein, that there should be time no longer.
Okay, very good. I want to read you a verse, and you see if there's any parallels here. Okay? The verse comes from the book of Nehemiah, chapter 9, and verse number 6. All right? You look at this verse that she just read, and listen. Thou, even thou, art Lord alone. Thou hast made heaven, the heaven of heavens, and all their host, the earth, and all things that are therein, the seas, and all that is therein, and thou preservest them all. And the host of heaven worshipeth thee. A lot of parallels there, isn't there? All right. God Almighty is the one who created all things. We know that here in Nehemiah, that it says that the Lord Jehovah was the one who created all those things. And yet we find in John chapter 1 that Jesus Christ created everything, and nothing was made that wasn't made by him. So there's another reason to believe that Jesus Christ is Jehovah God, because Jehovah created it all, and yet Jesus created it all, and you can't have both unless they're the same being. But as we move into this, he lifted up his hands toward heaven. So here we see this, he saw this angel, and that was upon the earth, and the angel lifted up his hands toward heaven, and as he did, he was making a swearing his oath of truthfulness, and he said that time would be no longer. You know, and as Joseph brought out earlier, and I said we'd get to it, here it is. If this angel had been Christ, he would have been sworn by himself as there is no greater. So he would have had to swear by himself or by his own authority. And, I mean, God could do that, but that doesn't seem at all to be what is taking place here. All right, so mighty angel that is speaking to him speaks out. Now, Robinson points out that this does not mean that chronos, or time, the word time is chronos in Greek, that the time will cease to exist, but only that there will be no more delay in its fulfillment of the seventh trumpet. All right? In answer to the question, how long? All right, so in verse number 6, we see that question there, that there should be no time, or no time no longer, and yet there's been this question come up, how long, Lord, before you're going to judge them? How long before you're going to finish what you're doing here? And there's a lot of wondering amongst the believers especially, how long before, come on, Lord, when is it going to come? And so here he says that time will not cease to exist, but the time of delay will cease to exist. All right? So that helps us.
I was told if it makes sense the way it's written, that's the way it's meant.
Yeah, and usually that's the way it is.
They say the time is going to be no longer, that's what they mean.
What are you saying? That there's not going to be time, no more?
We'll be in eternity, won't it? There's no time in eternity.
No, it's not eternity. This is a tribulation period. It's not eternity. So we're in the tribulation period yet. So there's still time. Time will continue on until eternity.
Right.
In eternity, after the tribulation, after the millennium, then there's eternity. So we still have 1,000 and a few years of the tribulation left. A few years of the tribulation left plus the 1,000 years of the millennium. Well, that's where
we were the talking about the throne of God is in eternity.
Well,
as far as I know.
It is, but it's also it's where God is. All right, God's timeless. God doesn't need the time. But in the context of what he's dealing with here, he's just saying that we're not going to delay any longer. It's going to go on. Okay.
The time has come.
The time has come. That's it. There we go. All right. When the seventh angel blows the trumpet, God's mystery will be finished. Verse 7.
But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants the prophets.
Okay, it was interesting. As I was studying through this chapter, the word voice is mentioned four different times. We see the word voice in verse 3, again in verse 4, again in verse 7, and then again in verse 8. The voice. Alright? And this one here, it says it was the voice of the seventh angel. Alright? So, the angel hasn't sounded yet, but he's speaking about when he does sound, this is what's going to happen. And the mystery of God should be finished. Right now, Wiersbe describes the word mystery as a sacred secret. That's a pretty good description of it, a sacred secret. But it's a mystery. It's not something that God doesn't know. It's not mysterious to God. It's just something we don't know about because God hasn't told us all the details of it yet. And the mystery of God probably refers here to the previously unrevealed details of God's plans for humanity that he was about to make known. Well, that was the Thomas Constable's take on that, it's referring to things that God's getting ready to tell us that he hasn't revealed to us yet. This mystery before us is that which was spoken by the Old Testament prophets centuries earlier. All right, so there's things that the Old Testament prophets knew little bits about and they predicted it, and these are things that are starting to take place here. And it seems to speak of the final outpouring of the divine judgment just prior to the time when Christ will reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All right, so there's going to be a great judgment at the end of the tribulation where God's going to come down. And there's going to be judgment upon the earth during that time. Now, the word mystery, we find it throughout the scriptures many different times. Jesus spoke of the mystery of the kingdom in Matthew chapter 4, verse 11. And then also Paul preached about several different mysteries. He talked about a mystery of God's will in Ephesians 1:9. He talked about the mystery of Christ in Ephesians 3:4 and Colossians 4:3, and the mystery of the gospel in Ephesians 6:19, and the mystery of God in Colossians 2:2, and the mystery of iniquity in 2 Thessalonians 2:7, the mystery of faith in 1 Timothy 3:9, and the mystery of godliness in 1 Timothy 3:16. So he had lots of different things about the mysteries. These are things, that, like Wiersbe said, they're the sacred secrets that God hasn't revealed all to us.
Yes, there are mysteries, but some have already been...
some of them he's unfolded them.
Unfolded.
Yeah, he's opened them up
mystery
for us.
Church,
yep, but I mean, a lot of those... I mean, even like the mystery of the Gentiles, when, you know, the Gentiles were offered salvation for all through the Old Testament, that was unheard of, that was unthinkable. Even in the time of Christ, in his ministry, it was unthinkable to think the people just thought Gentiles were dogs. You know, there's no way in the world are they going to be part of God's salvation. And that was a mystery, and God opened that up. And so we're blessed because of that, or else all of us would be in big trouble. All right. Then in verses 8 to 11, we see here that John is asked to eat a little book, verses 8 to 11.
And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand, and I ate it up, and it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many peoples and nations and tongues and kings.
Okay, so this is another one of those unusual things, talking about taking things literally. You know, I don't think the guy handed him a book and said, all right, eat it up now. You know, I don't think that's the idea that he had in mind here. So this was one of those situations where very unlikely that it was a literal thing, but in a sense, he was performing something. And
some things can be performed literal, as in other parts of the Old Testament, but, you know, where they literally ate this or literally ate that, was taken to it. So it could be literal in the sense that a meaning is what's the end.
You definitely get a bitter belly if you ate a book.
it's just a form of meaning at the end, the result of it, you know.
Yeah. The idea here was he needed the information.
They used to, you know, told to eat ashes in the Old Testament.
Yes,
some
but
of the prophets
and the biggest thing is that. All right, let's back up on that, just using some basic logic. All right, if this songbook here was the book, and I ate this, the words of this song wouldn't do a thing for me, except give me indigestion.
It's a special book.
I know. Well, all I'm saying is...
All I'm saying... No,
John Ray...
I mean, the original one, John is the prophet. So John is the state of prophecy this whole time, right? So, I mean, he's not quite here. It's something deeper and more spiritual. So, I mean, he's in some sort of spiritual realm by the seems of it. So, even if he did something literally, we're talking about a non-physical reality here. This is spiritual. So, the same physical limitations in our reality wouldn't apply here. Because this is something that's in the supernatural realm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
So whether he chomped down on the book or whether he ate the contents of it in the information, the bottom line is the information in the book was what he needed. And that's what he was going to be able to tell out. All right, so we'll ask the Lord all about the details of his indigestion later on. But the thing we...
About the angel standing on the sea, too.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Jesus walked on the water, so he was special too.
Now, about the reality, though, like John Ray was saying, I mean, in our spiritual bodies, we're still able to touch each other, aren't we? We'll be still able to eat, aren't we? We'll be still able to hug. I mean, all these things are a reality. I mean, you know, you can't just go and put your, you know, hand through the Spirit in your glorified body. I mean, we will be able to do things in the glorified body.
Jesus had a glorified body.
Yeah, well, he ate fish.
Was on
he ate fish while he was in the glorified body.
That's right.
There's a lot of things that we don't know, but it is a reality.
Think of it this way. When Christ was on earth, after he rose, he came back, right, 45 days or whatever, He ate. He even told Thomas to put his hand in his side. So obviously...
See, he had physical. He said he had bones. He said that. Yeah.
So in heaven, there would be that as well, where we'd be able to touch. And we're told we can eat things, the fruit of the trees, and walk the streets, and, you know, converse. And,
I understand. I agree with what John Ray said, too. There's two sides to it. There was another realm. It was a different situation. John was seeing these things... in a vision or whether he was there in person and he was caught up to heaven and he's seeing all these things that are...
These things are literally handed in this and he gave him that and he took this and
Or we're just debating over stuff that's... We're just debating about stuff that doesn't really matter. So let's get on with the content of it, all right? So the angel told John to take it and eat it, and the contents of the book were sweet and bitter. Perhaps the sweet was for sweet to the saints and bitter to the sinners. This is just one theory. All right? And John ate it, and it was sweet but bitter in his belly, just like he was told. And obviously, eating the book, I think, was symbolic. All right? So whether he jumped down on it or whether it was a symbolic thing, we'll ask the Lord about that when we get there. All right? Now, John must prophesy to many of these things. All right? So the sweet and bitter prophecies of this little book were to be his message. And the message is recorded for all people to read John's book, this book of Revelation. All right, so John's getting this information. God's saying, I want you to write it down. I want you to prophesy this information. I want people to be able to see it of all nations and peoples and tongues and kings. They all need to be able to see this. And that God is opened this up for us to be able to share with others. And, you know, if we didn't have the book of Revelation, there'd be a lot of mysteries that we don't have any clue about.
Maybe it was good for the people that would be saved during the period and bad for those that would be lost.
That's a possibility too. Yeah. So there's a lot of things there that God doesn't tell us. Now, some applications here. It's a good reminder to us that there are many mighty angels in heaven who serve the Lord. You know, it's hard for us to comprehend the innumerable angels that are there, that are all there for one purpose, to serve God. And all of them there in heaven, various authority, various powers that God has given to them. Why did God give some of them certain powers and others not as much? I don't know. It's kind of probably the same reason that he's given some people more spiritual talents on earth and others were a little bit lacking.
It would all be the same, wouldn't it?
So just as well, with Lucifer, what was he like? He was also an angel, wasn't he?
Yes.
He was like the chiefest of all the angels.
Well, he was certainly at the near the top. I mean, he was very high angel, no question about it.
He shone back the light of God.
Who is this?
Lucifer.
Lucifer.
Yeah. Even Michael wouldn't attempt to go to war with him without.
I don't know whether he was an archangel, but he was.
Well, I don't know if he was an archangel either, but he was definitely a very high angel.
It seems that he might have even be higher than some of the archangels. And the reason is because in the wilderness, even Michael the archangel was able to, in his own power authority, contend with Satan.
Yes.
Had to use God's name. Which implies that even the archangels are under lower than Satan, or were anyway, when he was created.
Well,
even if
they were on a par, he still wrestled with him on the authority of the Lord and not on his own strength.
Yeah.
He was still depending on God's power there. So let's back on our topic here. So there's lots of different kinds of angels in heaven, but they're all there to serve the Lord. You know, God has a perfect time schedule for all that he does. Each event will take place precisely when he's planned it. You know, we look at these things that God is telling us here, and the people are saying, how long are you going to wait, Lord? When are you going to get going? And, you know, we get impatient with the Lord sometimes, and they go, Lord, when are you going to come back and take us to heaven? You know, and we look around us, and we see the evidence that it's coming soon, but it could be still a while.
And
God's,
but the Lord knows what he's doing, and he'll come. And then many things are still mysteries to us. God has revealed what we need to know, but that revelation is limited. So there is certainly a limitation there. We don't know all the things, and there's still mysteries that we don't know, and we'll find out when God wants us to know. And then God's judgment may be sweet or bitter, depending on our relationship to Christ. And again, this is depends on what that exactly means by the sweet and bitter. But assuming that it was sweet for some people and bitter for other people, God's promised good things for his people, though there's bad things that do happen to good people. We know that as well.